Welcome back to the Positive Gains Podcast. Today, my special guest, Coach Rob Robinson, now coaching at MiraCosta College. You might have seen him on Last Chance U. Coach Rob, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. It's game day at MiraCosta. Hey, we're about 40% into the season. Things are rolling.
Things are rolling, man. Yeah, I was looking at your record. Guys look good. I saw the first game you guys had, you got a win. So I know that feels good being at the helm now.
Oh, yeah. That first win was always special. That was cool. As my first as a college head coach. And kids came out and played really well. Got me that first win. But it's JUCO. It's a roller coaster. You know, can't be too high, can't be too low. You just never know what's going to happen in a California Community College game or a season.
Absolutely. Yeah, so a little bit of background info for the viewers, I guess, that haven't seen the show. You know, I was pretty intrigued by your story because 20 years of coaching high school basketball is a feat in itself. A lot of accolades, won a lot of games. And I just wanted to go over that little bit right there, just the mindset of coaching for 20 years in high school.
Oh, well, it's not something I really wanted. Like in the beginning, I had a mindset of what I wanted to do in the coaching profession. But life happens. And especially when you're in your 20s and you're on your own and you're trying to make a way. There's a lot of professions where, like, you know, you have to really struggle for years, whether it be through internships or making less pay. And I was ready for that. Oh, I was ready. I was ready for that grind. And I was going to want to be a college coach. And my first 2 years, I was assistant at a junior college. But my first son was born and the brother needed health care. And so it changed my entire mindset of what I was going to do with the profession. And I was fortunate enough to be getting in and begin a high school career at a very young age. I was a head high school basketball coach at 26 years old. That was my first varsity experience. Of course I had no idea what I was doing, but if you'd asked me then, I'd have been like, oh, hell yeah, I know it all. But I had no idea what I was doing, but sometimes, you know, the profession chooses you. I always wanted to be a college basketball coach, or I wanted to be a basketball coach, but high school kind of chose me, and it was the right place it was the right time. And it was a cool profession. And so I got into high school and we had won some games. I was able to have a program. I was able to have a foundation for the family. We lived in like one city, pretty much one area for 20 years. My kids ended up going to the high school I taught at, all three of them. One of them played for me. So that was a cool experience. But the mindset to do it for that long is you have to love basketball and you have to grow as a coach during that time. Like if you're going to stay the same person you were in year one, you're not going to make it to year 10. It's you have to grow. And I was able to, early on, I got a master's degree in education, instruction, and curriculum, and I kind of evolved at the beginning. More, it became less basketball, more teaching.
Right.
And in the twilight, like, you know, the second decade of me coaching high school, then it became just more about the kids and less about basketball. But I'm competitive as hell, so it's about hoops for those 2 hours.
Yeah.
Play, but. You just have to find it. Basketball has to take on another role, like in your life, in order to do it for 20 years. You got to really have a love and passion for the game and the kids and trying to do right by both of those, like simultaneously. So that's what allowed me to stay in it, you know, for 20 years. But I mean, in my heart, I mean, like so many guys I know, I'm just a hoop head. I'm just a basketball player. I mean, that's, In 1983, my dad took me up to Nettie Hardin Elementary School and signed me up for basketball in Leavenworth, Kansas. I haven't missed a season since. I have played or coached every year since 1983. Wow. So it's just in me. It's just a part of me. It's just a part of what I am. And I don't know what it would be like to not say, all right, I'm gonna get them next season. I've been saying that since I was 10 years old. And I'm about to turn 50. I'm about to turn 50 here in about 6 weeks. But I've been saying next season since then, like turn the page, let's go. And let's get another one in. But my high school experience was really cool. I'm glad I had it. I mean, did it derail my plans? Yes, but I mean, you're not going to find an adult whose plans wasn't derailed by kids anyway. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah, and I like the realness of it because, your wife had spoken the show about you kind of sacrificing and, you know, those 20 years, you know, like you were saying, with the kids, what's important, the healthcare and the things that are on the forefront. And so you had all that success in high school. And you were actively looking to, you know, to leave. And like I said, the realness of it all, because most people would think with all that success, here comes people left and right. Hey, we'll take you. And it didn't happen for you like that. So, the mentality of persevering and not quitting, that's another thing that I wanted to touch on, because a lot of people might have said, well, maybe I am just a high school guy. You know what I mean? Maybe that is my path. I'm just going to hang it up and stay there. So, I want to know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, in my mind, I knew I could do it at another level. And that's not because like high school coaches aren't better than college coaches. That's not it at all. It's I know plenty of high school coaches that'll run circles around college coaches. I've been around college coaches now, like every day for 3 or 4 years at all levels. Half of them can't coach as well as high school coaches. Now, but a high school coach might not have the mentality to deal with what you got to do with at the college. So it's so much more than just basketball.
Right. But
from basketball, like X's and O's standpoint, like there's some incredible high school coaches. And as I was doing it, I knew I had the mentality. I've always had the mentality, like all my years of high school, I hold back like every day. You got to get into character to be a high school coach. You do, because you have to watch so many things you say. The parents are involved so much. The admins involved so much. And you're talking to sometimes 15-year-old kids,
right?
15-year-old kids speak a different language and have a different experience than a 22-year-old kid. So I knew I'd always be more comfortable, although I loved my experience of that. I knew I'd be more comfortable dealing with young men, where I could be a little bit more forthright, a little bit more honest, a little bit no gloves, so to speak, like right. No gloves. And I thought I could be successful at this level, and I'm stubborn as hell. And so if I put my mind to something, it just got put on hold. And I complained about it for years. And gosh, I feel so bad. Mm. You know what I mean? Complaining about it. Like, why am I here at this high school? Like, why is it like I should be there? You know, I could be doing that. Cause, you know, all the guys my age, and we all jumped in it at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. I got friends that are Division I head coaches, you know, and I'd be like, oh, that should have been me or this or that. Yeah. But when my kids got to high school, it really changed my perspective. Like that's my plan. That's where I was supposed to be all along, to be a part of those 6-7 years, because my kids were kind of staggered, of being a part of every one of my son's football games.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, or my son being a part of him, being a part of a Southern Section championship basketball team. Like it all kind of made sense, you know, as it got to the end. But I was stubborn. I wanted to do it. I was getting close to 50. I knew I had the drive, and I'm young at heart, and I got the talent, and I know I could do it. And I just went out on a limb, and I went out on faith. I just went out on faith that said that if I do right by kids, and I have the right mentality, and I've done right. Like I did what I was supposed to do. I was like, something good's got to happen. That's what I was saying. You know, like it's going, something good's going to happen for me because I did right, you know? So I didn't stress about it. I didn't. Of course, I stressed about not making no money for a minute. But I didn't stress about the basketball. I really didn't. Like every year, you know, it was like, hey, what you going to do next year? I'm like, I don't know. I'll just be great today. It's going to figure it out. If I'm good today, I'm fine. If I lock in like today, all I'm thinking about is playing Cerritos College.
Right.
That's it. And if I'm good today against Cerritos College and I'm good today and and helping these kids. Oh my God, I got to get kids eligible to intercession. We still got papers due from last week's finals. Like all this stuff that if I'm great today at that, tomorrow's taken care of. Yeah. Tomorrow taken care of. And it'll just happen as long as I'm doing it right, you know, for the right reasons. But it's hard to get to the point where you're doing it all for the right reasons. It can be tough. Yeah. I say it like it's easy. And when I mean right reasons, I mean like it's their win. You know, it's the kids' win. You really have to be selfless in this to do it long term. Like you do, or you go crazy. You know, yeah. or you wouldn't be manageable, or people don't want to be around you. You know, if it's about something else. But stubborn as hell, I wanted to coach college. I wanted to be successful at the college level. That's what I wanted to be. And so that's my next adventure. I'm hoping this next 20, I can conquer this one like is well. But I just know it's just day by day to get there.
You know, and then going into, you know, when you land it at ELAC, and like you said, like you got to be so much more than a coach. I mean, and even then the college level, I mean, you're tracking guys down. Hey, did you turn this in? We got to get this done. Hey, have you done this so we can get you out? I mean, it's, you know, then I don't want to ruin it for people, but something happens with a family member of one of the guys on the team. And now that has to shift and it's more spiritual. Now we're not talking basketball. So you got to wear all these different hats, and I guess that's what people don't see. And that's not really, I guess, what you would put on your paperwork. I mean, that's just like on the fly, right?
Yeah, so. It's not on the job description.
Yeah. You
know, it's not. The reality of in high school to an extent, but college for real, is that basketball is 2 hours a day. Wow. The other 22, something has to happen. And for 2 hours a day, I teach on a basketball court. For 22 hours a day, I coach kids off the basketball.
Right.
And it's it is full time. It is all the time. And they're kids too. Like every one of them are making mistakes every single day. The patience that you have to have is incredible. But you already know it going in. Like, you know, like I know today, like there's going to be some mistakes. Like I know it. Like, hey, last night at halftime, my team is bickering. Like, we had a game last night and one kid halftime, he goes out, he slams the door open and walks out the gym. They're going out. He is so frustrated. The other kid's yelling at this other kid and they're doing that. So at halftime, we're in the locker room. And I told everybody like, hey, if you're going to make a mistake in the second half, raise your hand. And so everybody raised their hand. I was like, all right, let's just get it out there now. Everybody just, yeah, let's just yell at each other right now. Like, hey, Jay, you yell at Rim. Hey, Rim, you talk to them. Like, right now, just get it out now, right? Here's the given. You're going to make mistakes. And life is like hoops, man. There's going to be, that don't mean you can't win with making mistakes. Like, you know what I mean? So it's pretty, and in basketball and in life, I'm trying to teach the kids, like, no one's perfect. No one. But the people who succeed, they make mistakes. They just make less mistakes than the people who don't succeed. And that's hoops. So if we make less mistakes than the other team, we'll probably win the game. But everybody's gonna miss shots. Everybody's going to foul. Everybody's going to turn it over. Like all that happens. But whoever does it the less is usually the one that comes out on top. And I try to get them to do the same thing, like academically with their relationships, like just make less mistakes, like learn from them. Let's make less mistakes each day, less mistakes. And that's part of that 22 hours a day of just coaching kids. And then on top of that, like I have 18 guys in my program. All 18 are on a different pathway. All 18, right. Nobody's going to the same place and doing the same thing. None of them read the same. None of them process information the same. None of them come into the gym with the same mentality. It's like 18 different dudes you have to coach individually, but then for 2 hours, you got to bring a macro together, like to get them together as a group. But then the moment it's over, the group is over. And then you got to flip it back. And now I got to come at him like what makes this kid better? Like how can I coach this kid to make him better in this? And so it's a ton of hats. It's a ton of hats. It's a ton of work. But there's nothing like knowing like you're making a difference in people's life. I know I'm making a difference. And so I know every single thing I do is worth it. You know, I don't know if you know anything about teaching, and a lot of times in coaching, you rarely get to see like, you know, the fruits of your labor. You rarely get to see it. You're building a foundation. And then like later on in life, they're going to be successful. And then your players always come back and be like, Coach Rob. So I don't see it in the moment. You know, I rarely see it in the moment, but I know it's there.
Right.
I know it's there. I can see the kids growing. And then I hand it off. And I'm hoping that the next, when they leave JUCO and they go on to their 4-year, or when they're in high school and I send them on to college, I'm just hoping and praying it's a good situation where the next coach takes the baton and then he coaches that young man. Like more than and it means more than basketball. You know, that being said, basketball is everything. It's what motivates the kids to wake up today. It's the reason why I was ever eligible. Like the reason I graduated college is because I just stayed eligible and did what the coaches said. And after 5 years, it was the spring. And I was like, oh shit, I'm graduating. like that's how it happened. Like it just happened. It's not like I was working towards it. I was locked into it. I was locked into making 300-400 shots a day. I was trying to hoop. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was trying to play professional. And the coach was like, you got to do this. You got to do this. And okay, I'll be a study hall. I'll take the classes. I do it all. I did that. And then I ended up with a degree. And then lo and behold, 2 years later, I become a lifelong learner and I get a teaching credential. And then a couple years after that, I get a master's degree. And then now I'm a lifelong learner, but that foundation was built because of basketball.
Wow. And
so sports work, you know, like they work. I don't care if it's third grade or or you're in grad school. That motivation, you know, that discipline that sports does, it carries over, and you might not see it at that moment, you know, but it carries over to the next thing. And one of the things I was really hoping, you know, from that standpoint of the show was if people watched it, like the first year when everyone watched the show in season one, I was like, I hope everyone understands like how important a junior college or community college can be.
Yeah.
And the difference it can make in these kids' lives, you know, and forget the basketball player. There's just people struggling that go to community college. You know, that you're only looking at 14 people, but there's so many people. Every community college I'm on, I look around and half of them people are working. They got babies, they got kids, it's just this mesh of a grind of all aspects. And I was really hoping that the world got to kind of see the California community college grind. The second season, I was really hoping that people in education got to watch it and understand like that person in your class, whether he be football, basketball, or just a kid who's 19 working over at Jack in the Box. There's a story behind that kid right there. And he's not a student ID number. Mm-hmm. And so many times you get treated like that at the college level. And I can't tell you how many teachers I've heard over the last 3 years call my kids lazy. And I look at them and I'm like, this kid works harder than anybody else on campus. And you're calling him lazy. Okay, so he didn't turn his stuff in on time, or he's not interested in the compromise of 1820. Okay, I get that, right? I get it.
Yeah.
But to call him lazy, like, where were your other students at 6 o'clock this morning?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, where were your students at 11 o'clock last night? Because mine were in a locker room. I mean, mine were in a weight room lifting weights after a game. You know, mine were on a track at 7 o'clock in the morning. You know, my kids work harder than anybody else on campus, but there's a mentality that they could be lazy. So I just want people in education, whether it be teachers and admin and assistants and the person in the financial aid department and student services and everybody, to go like, yo, that's not a student number. It's like, that's a kid, yo. So what's going on? If there's an issue there, like, what's going on? It's not just he just didn't do his stuff, give him an F or drop him from a class or do that. Now, the kids got to do their part. Don't get me wrong. They do. Don't give a kid anything. They always have on the court and off. But there's always a story there. They're always. And sometimes if you dig deep, the story might be the kid don't even want to be in college and that kid's not going to, he's not going to stick. But it could be something else. Like it could be a kid living in his car. Like it could be. And you sweating him because he couldn't turn his stuff in on time, you know, and I you don't know where that kid was living. You don't know his situation. So I'm hoping that educators see season two. First year, I was hoping that the community got to see what it was. So they would support their junior colleges and community colleges in all 50 states.
Right.
But the second one, I was really just hoping. I am hoping, and I'm trying to get that message out. Like, we have to stop seeing college kids as student ID numbers. Now, we are literally making decisions on their lives based on their ID numbers.
Oof. People are people first. That's a very interesting topic. You know, I've never thought of it like that. And it's true, like you say, you never know what people are going through. And again, it's wearing multiple hats, even as a teacher. You've got to tap in. excuse me. Now that you're the main guy, you are center, front and center. What has the email process been like for you as far as people wanting to play?
Oh man. When I got the job, it had died down since season one. Hey, at ELAC. Oh my gosh. After season one, COVID hits. And so we're not around, but we do come back because we thought we were going to play. And Coach Mo is like, I need you to check the basketball email.
Oof.
So I was like, all right. So the first time I checked it, thousands of emails. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? You know, like thousands of emails. And where I come from, though, it's not like we're Hollywood. It's not like something we're used to. So for all of our lives up until season one of Last Chance U, if somebody emailed you, you emailed them back. So that's your mentality, right? So I hunkered down and I started answering all those emails. And I answered every single one of them. I answered every single one.
Wow.
And what was wild about it is I had no idea, Mike, how many 5'9" guards there were in America trying to play basketball. Hundreds of thousands of 5'9". Coach, look at my tape. Coach, I'm a 5'9" guard that's overlooked. I mean, yeah, I can't even tell you. But it was a lot. But then it kind of died down. And over the last year, it's been the typical basketball cycle.
Oh, okay.
And so it's typical. You'll get a lot of local kids, wherever your junior college is, like, hey, I want to play. You'll get scouting services send you stuff like all the time. So when I got the job, it was a little bit of an uptick. It was because everybody who knew me had a player. Mm. Like everybody I know has a player. Like I got a guy, I got a kid. He's overlooked. He's that. Like every single person I know. And so I got those calls. That was a little overwhelming. Since last week though, oh my goodness. Like season two, after season two came out. I'm getting over 100 emails a day just from high school kids.
Oh,
across the country. 100 across the country a day. Coach Rob, I saw you. I can play for you. I can. And so I'll say something to them, but then I just forward it to my assistants. I just let them look at the video and whatever, because it's hard to come out here and play.
Right.
There's no scholarships. You know, we can't pay your rent. We can't feed you. I can push you over to the spot where the other guys live. You know, hey, go sign a lease, pay rent and feed yourself. Let's see what happens. So it's hard, but it's been a lot, but just like to that, I've answered every email because there's a lot of people just hit me up and they just appreciate, you know, the love and support I give to kids. And I get emails of encouragement, like a lot. And And I hit him back. I hit every one of them back. Every one of them. I try and build a connection. I try and build a bridge. I mean, I realize I might not be able to like one day, but I know I'm not that today. And I can do it. I don't mind it. I don't mind the interaction. And then you never know who you're responding back to. You know, you just never know. Like that person I'm responding back to could be somebody very influential in our community. And then they can do things that help my kids, like down the road, the program right. down the road. You know, you just never know, you know. So yeah, you gotta look under every rock. You always gotta look under every rock. And it's basketball. Anybody in the coaching profession or basketball who don't have time to talk to people, like what the hell? It's basketball. Like it's that basketball brings us together, like that, and it's supposed to, like it's a team sport, it's a community sport, like it's supposed to be a bridge between me and you. Right. Who's the bridge between me and you? It's a bridge between me and the guy who works over at Home Depot, because I was over there yesterday. Me and that fool talked for like 15 minutes. I don't even know who he is. We talked about basketball for like 15 minutes. Everything from Kyrie Irving to the NIL. Like we're talking about it. I don't even know this guy, but
yeah, we're talking conversation.
You thought we'd known each other for 50 years, like we best friends. Yeah. But that's what basketball does. And so anyone who thinks they too good to talk to people or answer emails or whatever, like what the hell? Yo? It's hoops, man. Like, dude, you know, that's what we're here for.
And lastly, before I let you out, I want to know what advice would you give to two people? The first would be an incoming, again, all these players that want to play for you. And, you know, what would you tell these kids in high school? What do they need to take care of to ensure that, you know, if they want to go to the next level, whether it be for you or somebody else? And the second part would be fellow coaches, because I think coaches get overwhelmed a lot. So what would you give another coach?
Well, high school kids or a kid who wants to play, they're going to have to accept that there are two parts to this. And it's a student athlete. And it's very hard for them to lock into the first one. Like, you have to be a student first. And basketball is more important. Anybody who says academics is more important than basketball, yeah, they're full of it. They're absolutely full of it. Because basketball is the most important thing. It's our job to make academics as important as basketball. That's my goal. I'm not telling the kid ever, oh, your academics is more important. No, I'm trying to get your academics to be as important as your passion is and your willingness to get better at hoops. That's what I'm trying to get to. But kids, they got to understand, like, you're going to be a student athlete. You don't get to go just play basketball. You have to go to class. You have to pass your classes.
Yeah.
You have to get your mind around that. Because dudes is like, where am I going to play? Like that's it. And so then you get hit over the head and you struggle when you get there because you only went there to play. Now, I ain't saying you got to go there to be an engineer, like year one. But you have to have the mentality as a high school kid going to college or a junior college kid going to the four-year level. Like, I'm going to be a student. I'm going to get up today. I'm going to go to class. I'm going to go to study hall. I'm going to do my work. Like, that's a given. Like, you have to start to have that mentality. I'm going to be a student athlete. Because it's difficult to wrap your mind around. If you're not a student athlete, you can't play college basketball.
Right.
You're not going to be able to. I mean, academics is the oxygen of basketball life. You can't function without it. And too many kids, like way too many, especially at my level, all over the country at junior college level, they struggle because they can't wrap their mind around being a student and an athlete. They can be an athlete, but the student part is what they struggle with. But that's what we're here for, to help them through that struggle. To get them there. Like, you might not be there, but we'll get you there 2 years from now. But I need kids to understand, like, you have to do your work. And I got kids in my office all the time. I'm like, I didn't ask you to get an A. I did not ask you to get an A on that 4 to 6 page essay. I didn't ask that. I asked you to go to the writing lab and finish it and turn it in. That's all I'm asking for. All I'm asking for is, I need these kids to understand we need effort and attitude. Academically and on the basketball court. So, hey, high school kid, any kid, any coach coaching a high school kid, like, pass the class, dog. Like, pass the class. That's what you got to be able to do, because that's the given. Because none of the other stuff works unless you can do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't get to work on your game. You don't get to hit threes. You don't get to go to the weight room. You don't get to be a part of the program. None of that works unless you do that thing. So, hey, let's just get that out the way. I hope we can get to a point where that's just the given. You know what I mean? That's the given variable in this equation of being successful in basketball.
Right. Like,
classwork is going to get done. I didn't say it had to be A's. There's a reason why it says 2.0. You don't have to get A's.
Yeah.
You don't have to. I have two undergraduate degrees, a master's degree, and two teaching credentials. I don't know if I've ever got over 3.0. I don't know if I have. Now, at the end, I started getting some A's. Don't get me wrong, when I got to grad school, because then I was like, oh, shoot, this is interesting. Let me learn. But you look at undergraduate, even my teacher credential stuff, I'm like, hey, what do I need? Basically, I've been doing it. Like, hey, coach, what do I need? And my coaches used to joke with me. My coaches joked me, hey, Rob, we need you to be 2.0 eligible. That was it. 2.0 eligible. I got it. You know what I mean? I got it. Until I figured it out on my own. And to the coaches, every coach struggles at a different level for different reasons. And if you're trying to get into college basketball for a coach, if you're trying to get in, you just have to accept that it's just damn near impossible.
Oof.
That's just what you have to accept, you know, that it's extremely hard. It's very cliquish. Like, you got to know somebody. You really have to know somebody to move up the ladder. Like, you don't have to, you can help out like at a community college or you can go be an assistant at a high school. You can help out, you know, because there's a huge difference, Mike, between helping and coaching. Guys who help show up for practice and help. Guys who coach are working with me those other 22 hours.
Right.
Yeah. So if you really want to be a coach, you have to accept you're not going to make any money. You're not going to make any money when you start out. You're just doing it to do it, unless you go the high school route. Because the high school route can usually come with a job. And now you're talking about a salary with benefits, et cetera. And that's what I did. And then once I got in that, I was like, well, I'm here. So I just had another kid. The wife talking about putting a pool in the backyard. You know what I mean? Like, it's on. Like, it's on. Like, I can't leave this. I can't go back to making $1,000 a year to work my way up the ladder.
Right.
So if you're aspiring to be a college coach, just, you're not going to make any money. Like, I heard a dude earlier this year said the goal for a college coach is to be making 30 at 30. I mean, think about that for a second. That's damn near minimum wage.
Yeah.
The goal is to be making 30 by 30, and they're not too far off. And so if you're going to do that, you better be in this thing for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to make very much money. That don't mean you can't down the road, but you just got to be in it. You got to be in it for the right reasons, which is the advice I give to all the coaches. Every coach who wants to coach basketball, like, just have the right mentality. When I started coaching, I kid you not, if you asked me tonight, like, hey, what y'all, you got a game tonight? And I would say to you, yeah, I'm going to play Cerritos. Because that was my mentality. I'm going to play Cerritos tonight. I'm going to go win this game against Cerritos. And then over the years, slowly but surely, I figured out I'm not going to play Cerritos. My playing career is over. It's done. You know, like, this is for them. This is for their experience, because every day I have a flashback and a memory of when I played basketball every single day of my life.
Wow. There's not
one day that goes by where I don't think about, maybe it was a high school game. Maybe it was something down when I was playing in Texas. Maybe it was something in the USBL. Maybe it could have been like hooping up at Gruber Gym in Fort Leavenworth. Like, every day I have a memory of a basketball experience. And as coaches, we have to understand, like, these kids have this short window to create memories to last them 50, 60 years. This is their experience. And so when I used to say, hey, I'm going to play so-and-so, yeah, that was about me. Now I'm like, hey, my guys are going to play. How do I do this for them? How do I get them this experience? How do I get them this win? And by doing that, I'm going to be successful, though.
Right.
But it's not about me. It's not about me at all. And so the last decade, I'd say the last 10 years. And it took me 10, 12 years to get to this. Ain't like it happened. but for the last decade, I truly understand and figured out if everyone around me is successful, I'm successful. Every single person, the athletic director, the assistant, the maintenance guy, the equipment dude, everybody. Hey, the dude out there right now painting stuff in the parking lot, everything. If everybody around me is successful, if my players are successful, if my assistant coaches are successful, if everybody, if the ARO resource officer, if that dude is successful, I'm successful. So just make everybody around you in your basketball community successful, and then you are. And so I don't worry about winning. I worry about everybody around me winning. And that can give you some longevity, and that gives you better perspective. And it makes the harder days easier, because there's some hard days doing this stuff. It's some hard days. But when you figure out it's not about you, and not at all, then it does become a little bit easier and a little bit more clear.
Man, you said a mouthful there. You just gave some free game, you know, in your future. I see maybe a book deal. Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, if they ever come to, hey, I help anybody. I have experience, you know. Yeah. I've been through some things. I've been basketball wise in my life. Like, I've been through some things, and it's helped me with my perspective. Everybody's been through their own struggle, you know. Right. Everybody. I just see it through the lens of hoops. And I'm grateful and blessed that I have that ability. I mean, God blessed me with a mind for basketball, and then be able to see like the world kind of through that, so it makes sense to me, and so that I can help others.
Wow. That's outstanding, man. That's why I like doing these, because I always learn. I always learn a lot, and I never thought of it like that. You know, if you can get everybody else around you to be successful, how much it'll obviously make everybody happy, but you know, you're going to stand out too, because you're the guy. So
if you win with your podcast today, I win. Yeah. I guarantee it. If this thing does something good for you, like I win. So I'm making you in my circle today, Mike, I'm making you successful, bro. Whoever's coming to my path, I'm grinding for you today. Let's get it done. And in the end, I'm straight. Like, tomorrow I'll be fine. As long as I'm great where I'm at today for everybody around me, I'm going to be fine.
Man. Well, I appreciate you for the knowledge and taking time out of your busy day. You guys got the game tonight, you know.
Yeah, hey, it's gonna be a tough one. They're good. They got such a good post player. I don't know how we stop him. My assistant coach said, hey, this 20 is good. And I was like, yeah, 20 is gonna get 20. Let's just accept that. like, let's move on down the line. What else can we do? Because we ain't stopping this dude. Not tonight. We ain't stopping this guy, man. So Hey, but you know, the key to winning is scoring one more point than the other.
That's right.
That's all I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Let's get one more point.
Yeah. Much respect, man, and the honesty there. But yeah, good luck to you guys tonight and going down the road. Best of luck to you. And again, appreciate you being on.
Hey, man, no problem. It was a lot of fun, man. Hey, stay in touch with me, man. Circle back anytime, dog.
I will. Most definitely.
All right, man. Later.
Later.